Okay.
And I'm going to start the broadcast. Shit. I think I'm going to start the broadcast.
Great.
Oh, crap. Am I going to... Oh, okay. Here we go. All right. There we go.
Now hello, Internet.
Are we on?
I missed that last week.
I missed it last week, too. I still haven't listened to the show yet because I've been busy.
So how was last week for you?
Let's just say while you guys were doing the score report, I was back in the hospital.
Oh.
Yep. The very, very nice people at Grand Old Hospital of Massachusetts were really, really good about providing a lot of stuff, but not enough to say, hey, your legs are really, really swelling, and maybe you should wear some compression socks to help bring that swelling down so that when you call later on saying, my legs really hurt, you don't immediately go, uh-oh, danger, 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 she might have a blood clot, and she may die, and she'll sue us if we don't bring her in and spend damn near, I mean, it was from 9 o'clock till 10 o'clock, we were talking to doctors. From 10 o'clock till 2 a.m., we were waiting for tests to get done. And then we got home, and this is with no sleep.
Oh, shit.
Ugh. I was rip shit. It was J-level rage.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly. And thank goodness my mother-in-law was down, so she was watching the baby.
Yeah. So is your wife okay?
Oh, yeah. But she got on the scale. They had her get on the scale before they brought her in for the test, and she weighed more that evening, so 4 days after giving birth, than she did just before she gave birth.
How is that possible?
Edema.
Oh my God.
Water.
Oh yeah. And all we did was we put some freaking compression socks on, put her feet up. She was already drinking water really well, you know, for making breast milk and all that. And it was, like, better in 24 hours. Huh. Well, if only they had thought about doing that when they sent us off from the hospital, jerks.
Yeah.
She had a natural birth, Aaron, and smooshed our baby's head nice and flat.
Oh, good.
She kind of looked like a xenomorph from the Aliens movies when she came out. She had this big, long, banana-shaped head. It was hilarious.
Oh, my God.
She still got a little bit of a back porch.
Oh, my God. You know, weird, I know that you're a biologist and you're into the whole animal thing. And you kind of have, like, this earthy, I think that's a good word, earthy attitude towards.
The appropriate term and what I tell my coworkers in my nice climate-controlled lab is I am a field biologist.
Okay. Yeah, but you do have this sort of attitude towards animals and reproduction and death and all sorts of ooky stuff. How did that the birth go for you?
Oh, it was fine.
Yeah?
It was, first up, I got to give all the credit to my wife. Oh my God, she did like a champ. She made that shit look easy. This is our first kid. It looked like it was like her eighth.
Wow.
She just hunkered down like a goddamn trooper and popped that baby out. It took a while, but you know, and an epidural really helped.
I'm sure.
but she felt like no pain. It was just a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of work. I mostly stuck with my initial birthing plan, which was I let her mom handle the kicking end and I handled the screaming end.
Okay.
So I was doing stuff like feeding her oxygen, which was like gave her superpowers. It was pretty awesome.
Yeah, that's a good plan.
Oh yeah. I wish we'd started the oxygen earlier. That shit was awesome.
and how much oxygen did you take?
Little mask or something?
I held the mask on her face, and when it was pushing time, I pulled it aside and we folded her in half and push.
What? I'm shocked that anybody was able to have babies ever before this.
Well, I mean, the difference. I mean, it's everyone's able to have babies, just a lot more of them died in the process.
Amazing.
I mean, that's essentially what I've been saying.
Yes.
Yeah, sure. No, I understand, but wow.
a lot more humans died in childbirth, and a lot more babies died either in childbirth or shortly thereafter.
Yep.
But thanks to modern medicine, I's got a baby.
Excellent. And she's really cute. She's just adorable. I've seen a picture of your wife. I think she looks a lot like your wife.
It is really my mom is constantly trying to say that she looks a lot like me when I was little.
No.
Uh-uh. Is showing some really crappy Polaroids.
Yeah, wait till the beard comes in.
I'm like, she's got that fine layer of baby hair all over, so she's kind of got some healthy sideburns.
She's a little furry.
Got some healthy sideburns, and she's got some shoulder tufts, just like Daddy.
All right.
I was born with fur all over my back, and my mom said she was a little worried until it all fell out. But
yeah,
so
yeah.
You know.
Well, this is all the nice, fine, colorless baby hair.
Yeah.
I have many friends who are of from the Indian subcontinent, and those babies come out looking like Jay. They have amazingly thick, coarse, dark hair from the top of their head all the way down to their butt.
Oh gosh,
it's hilarious.
Well, we're all glad it worked out for you.
Yes, we are.
So am I.
Yeah, she seems very sweet and.
Oh, she's like a super duper easy baby. Like our sleepless nights have been us getting up and waking her up so we can feed.
She's like, hey.
She's like, I'm sleeping. Yeah. But of course, I mean, let's be fair. If we weren't waking her up, she would be waking us up, and she'd be so pissed that she wasn't getting her food.
Oh yeah.
That her mouth would be for screaming, not for eating.
She'd make you pay.
Or she'd make us pay through the nose.
Mm-hmm. Hey, let's get started.
Okay.
Hey. It is Thursday, October 24th, 2013. And it's time for the Squirrel Report. The stupid open carry and baby episode.
Woo.
Actually, the call-in topic, and I'll let everybody get ready and start, you know, queuing up to call in, because it's a really good topic. Since Weird is a brand new daddy.
Sure am.
We want you to call in and give us your best parenting advice. I know that a lot of you are parents, and some of you had parents.
Some of you didn't have either.
Well,
I was hatched from an egg.
There are some lizard people out there. You know who you are. I won't say anything.
I work with some of them.
There's two ways we can go on this, and I will let the callers choose. One is to give your best parenting advice, stuff you wish you'd known, or stuff that somebody told you, or whatever, something that worked really well. But I also think it would be interesting to play Stump Weird, because if you call in with something that's, you know, kind of like, you know, it's like, you know, is it lying or not? You know, it's like, you know, something that sounds good, but maybe isn't. I don't know.
That sounds awesome.
I don't know where that might go, but I thought it'd be fun. So anyway, the call-in number, 214-530-0036. And we'll get to that in a minute. But the first thing we wanted to talk about was this. You know, I think I called it in the post the "you're doing it wrong" open carry style, because this guy is really doing it wrong. This guy put the link in chat. This guy in Portland, and I think Weird was really excited to talk about this.
Well, not really excited. I was really excited to talk about the Portland Open Carry event two years ago, where there was like 100 people on the Back Bay Promenade just having barbecues and open carrying and all that, and it was sponsored by the University of Southern Maine, so it was a college student that put it on, and it was a campus carry event, and just a lot of people came out, and it was a good time, and the cops were there. And all the cops did was protect the open carry people from the angry anti-gun people that were being imported up from Massachusetts.
Oh, good.
And that's how you do it right. That was
that
like
is.
A huge plus for it was, and it just got a lot of people out of the woodwork going, oh yeah, no, I'll open carry. Why not? Because you don't see a ton of it. You don't see a ton of it in Maine, or at least you certainly don't see a ton of it in Portland. And, you know, my time in central Maine, I didn't see a whole lot of it, but most of my time in central Maine was on a college campus. So what can you say?
Right.
But yeah, this dude did it completely goddamn wrong. And, yeah, so he's I believe an Afghani veteran. Let's say, let me see. Iraq veteran. And, his little thing was to, walk around, Woodford's Corner with an AR-15 cruiser ready. So he did not have a round in the chamber, as if that makes a fucking difference.
Yeah.
And he was carrying it at a low ready, wearing body armor and military fatigues. And he was just exercising his rights.
Yes, he was.
And I got to say, in my post, it just kind of popped out. I hadn't really thought about it that way, but I will just right out say that I've got no problem with people open carrying. I have open carried. As a general rule, I don't. But you know, overall, I like my time in places where open carry is legal, because God forbid my gun accidentally gets exposed or something happens. Yeah. I don't have to worry about going to jail or losing my permit or any other BS going on just because, oops, just a brief mistake.
Yep.
You know, that's, you know, victimless crime. But also I can fully see of the, you know, I wish Alan had open carry in Texas, because in August it's got to be a goddamn bitch to conceal carry anything but a itty bitty pistol.
Yeah, it is.
And, you know, same thing goes with Wisconsin, which now has concealed carry, but for the longest time they only had open carry. And I got to say, it is goddamn impossible to open carry a pistol in a place like Wisconsin in February.
Yeah, it is impossible.
Yeah. Or safely. I mean, you could get one of those cop jackets that slits all the way up to your kidney that you can button around the gun like they have. But I'd worry about my ejection port freezing up.
Yeah. Or, you know, whatever. I mean, it gets ridiculous.
Yeah, it gets ridiculous. And so there are times where both options should be available to everyone. But I'll say, if you're open carrying a rifle, I mean, number one, if you're open carrying a rifle, you're not just going about your day.
No.
Because you need at least one hand to be controlling that rifle.
Yep.
Just to keep it from beating the crap out of you. And I'm sorry. When I'm carrying at the grocery store, I've got a 1911 and a shoulder holster, and I need both hands so I can use my coupon, check my coupons, and put my groceries in my cart and all that stuff. And carrying a rifle at low ready is no different than carrying a pistol at low ready.
Clearly. I mean, the chief of the place, I mean, he doesn't come off as, you know, one of these like gun banner chiefs. I mean, he is. Well, you know,
he didn't have to let his true colors fly in this report, because this guy made it easy.
Well, yeah, that's the point, is, you know, if, like you say, when you're carrying a rifle, you're not going about your business. You're making a political statement, you know, unless you're hunting or something like that. And not that I have a problem with political statements, but if you're going to make a political statement, it needs to be the right statement and not the wrong statement.
And also another statement is, I mean, this is kind of what made Occupy Wall Street such a, you know, and all the other, you know, satellite groups such a boondoggle. Is this is just one dude acting alone with,
right,
you know, with no one speaking for him and all that, but they're trying to paint it for the big group. At least we have a big group. You know, those groups, if you see someone pooping on a cop car, shooting up in the campsites and all that stuff, there's no one who's going to say, no, this guy isn't speaking for us, because no one's speaking for them.
Except they have the media on their side and we don't.
Yes, that's true.
So they, you know, In our case, we get, you know, look at this scary gun nut. You know, all people with guns are just like this guy. And, you know, that's what the media says. Whereas when it's the 99 percenters on Occupy Wall Street, they're really quick to say, oh yeah, that guy pooping on the squad car, that's, you know, he's not one of them.
But yeah, but I mean, carrying a rifle at low ready, that is scary, because that's a guy ready to move.
Well, that's like yeah, like you said, that's like holding your pistol at low ready. You have unholstered and you're ready to shoot somebody.
Exactly. Shoot, I mean, if you ever see me with my pistol at low ready, there is a threat.
Yeah.
Immediately, I'm in condition red.
Right.
And if you're just open carrying, you're in condition orange at best.
Yep.
So what is it? What is the other option for carrying a rifle?
You sling it over your shoulder.
Oh, okay. And that's less threatening to people who don't know anything about rifles?
Well, I mean, that's the point, though.
That's the point, that it doesn't matter how he's carrying his rifle, but people see a rifle and they say, oh my fucking God, like, this guy's walking around with a loaded rifle. What?
I'll be a bit divisive. The way you carry a rifle is you keep it in the trunk of your car, you keep it behind the seat of your truck. Because I carry a pistol all the time, and right. I've got a rifle that is ready to goddamn go, but it's locked in my safe. And right. It's one of those, and my general philosophy is that when the shit hits the fan, I'm gonna have my pistol just in case I need it before I can get that rifle deployed. And okay. if you see me with a slung rifle, that means that there are rioters nearby, there are rogue police officers openly breaking the law, martial law has been declared. Or, I mean, I was carrying my rifle around with me when the Boston bombing guys were on the run, and the whole mm-hmm. city was locked down. It was just one of those. Yeah, sure. Things are really shitty. If shit gets down, I don't want to just be relying on a gun, on a pistol. I want a rifle.
Yes.
But carrying it just as a this is my defense. I think it's a bit much. There's nothing wrong with having a rifle, but it's one of those things of the carry a pistol to fight to your rifle.
Right. The problem I have is that you have this lone guy who decides, hey, I'm going to walk around the neighborhood with a rifle by myself. And it is his right to do that. And he's not shooting at anybody. He's not aiming his gun at anybody. So, you know, he is not potentially at that moment a danger. But you have a lone guy walking around with a rifle. So what is the psychology there?
Well, to add on to the psychology,
you know what I mean?
He also had drugs in his car.
Okay, aside from the drug thing, just some guy who decides, I'm going to walk around my neighborhood with a rifle.
Yeah, that's a problem.
That's a problem.
And I'm a huge, huge open carry advocate, and even I'm going to say that's a problem. Now, if you're in a whole group of people and you're all open carrying and it's a political thing, and, you know,
right.
Then, yeah, fine.
Right.
Oh, and what state was it? There was a guy who carried an AR-15 to the state house of his state. Oh, what state was that? I can't remember off the top of my head. But, I mean, unfortunately, this is what it leads to. You open carry your rifle, you know, someplace, New Mexico, Radis says. So what happened was they banned the open carry of rifles. Good job, guys.
Yep.
Yeah. It happened,
and that's and Portland is not the most gun. I mean, Portland is frequently chided by the rest of Maine as Massachusetts North, and it's one of those. They're always floating BS gun ordinance and things like that, and trying to ban. They've been trying to ban just any sort of open carry, period, and stuff like this is just going to really help them to get a little bit of oomph to ban long gun carry, at least in the city of Portland. We'll see if it happens, but.
Yeah, I don't know. Hey, we have a caller. It's area code 703. Hello, Bradley.
Hey, Alan. Jim Curtis.
Jim! Oh, I thought it was Bradley. Different, same area code. Hey, what's up, Jim?
Yeah, I figured I'd call in. I hadn't talked to you all in a month and a half or two or three.
Well, thanks for calling. Wow.
Yeah, congratulations to Weird on the new baby.
Oh, yeah. He's.
Thank you very much, Jim.
Yeah, you're going to have a lot of fun and not many good night's sleep for a while.
Yeah. Well, the nice thing about this is I was wondering, man, I should probably take a nap before before the squirrel report just to charge up. No, I haven't had a chance to get to bed yet.
And wild turkey works real good when they start teething.
I got some right here.
Yeah, shot for you, shot for them, and it's all good.
That was actually that's my mom was talking about. My mom was down yesterday. And she came down for a couple of days, and she was telling old school. She's a retired nurse, and she was telling old school baby stories. And that was whiskey nipples was a common teething tactic back in the day. And
I was whiskey nipples.
I was indeed indoctrinated with the whiskey nipple, and thank my mother deeply for that.
Well, make sure it's.
It ain't wrong, and it's a lot cheaper.
Make sure it's good whiskey. You don't want them starting off with the crappy stuff and developing a taste for it.
Yeah, not 10 high. Go with wild turkey.
Oban.
Oban's pretty good stuff.
Whiskey nipples.
Oh, yeah. But wild turkey's a little cheaper.
That's true. Oh, my goodness.
I tell you, I don't know if y'all are watching the crap going on up here in D.C., but geez, we just need to take them all out, shoot them, and start over.
Which crap? You have to be more specific.
Yeah, well, I guess the one that tripped everybody up here offline is the thing about Obama wanting to change the Marine Corps hats, make them look like French Foreign Legion kepis.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah, I don't see that happening.
Oh. And Marine Colonel came into work today, and he was just frothing at the mouth.
What do the French Foreign Legion Cavs look like? I'm a little behind on my current events.
It's a kepi. It's the little flat cap.
Oh.
Doesn't look gross. Like it fits on the head right.
Yeah. See, okay, here's the deal. Weird. Currently, the Marine Corps, since the last time the Marines have changed their covers, which is what they call them. They've started letting women be Marines.
Yeah.
Obviously women had to have a different kind of hat because, you know, obviously. So some bean counter pencil pusher somewhere in the Department of Defense has decided that maybe, you know, it'll streamline everything if they have unisex hats for the Marines. Basically, so they only have to stock one type of hat instead of two. And the style is they're calling it the Dan Daly style, but I got to tell you, it doesn't look anything like the kind Dan Daly wore. And you know, for those of you that don't know, Dan Daly was a recipient of the Medal of Honor, and a very storied Marine Corps hero.
Yeah, to put it mildly, it's ugly.
Yeah, it's ugly, and it's like the men wouldn't want to wear it, and the women wouldn't want to wear it. Basically, nobody likes it. So,
so it must be law.
it's pretty hideous.
That it is.
I don't think Obama decided that though. I think that was some, you know, supply.
Well, he's probably pushing it just trying to distract from all the other failings that are going on up here.
Well, they do.
Right. You could write better damn software than this Canadian company did. Of course, they were donors to Obama, which might have something to do with it.
You know, that's what everybody I know that does any kind of, you know, web development is like. First off, they're like, they spent how much money?
Yeah.
You got to be kidding me.
And the next question is, who's going to pay to fix it? Or is Or are they going to eat it?
No, they're going to.
They ought to eat it.
Yeah, they're going to eat it. Well, the people that wrote, like anything else I've ever seen in the development world, when a project goes this badly, the people that wrote it can't fix it. So you got to bring in somebody else, and the whole thing just instantly doubles in cost. So,
well, we were talking at work today, and a lot of us are figuring that this is meant to fail, and it's one more step toward pushing to single payer.
Well, that's always been the goal.
Well, that has always been their goal. They've been upfront about that.
I mean, that's the whole point behind the whole, you know, if you've got a pre-existing condition,
right.
And, you know, I mean, and let me tell you, I've got every sympathy for the whole pre-existing condition. I mean, I've got some selfish interest in the fact that my wife is a recent uncontrolled epileptic. And it turned out, unfortunately for us, that the cause of it was a tumor. And so that's made things a real goddamn nightmare for us as far as insurance goes. But I don't blame it. It's one of those we discovered in one day of one histology report, how my wife's going to die. I mean, the idea is, you know, not to be, you know, super grim about it, is that, you know, the way everything was growing inside of her, as far as the tumor goes, more than likely she'll live long enough that she'll get killed off by something else. But in the event that she lives long enough on a timeline, this tumor will kill her. And that right there is something insurance companies do not like to insure. And I don't blame them.
Well, you can't insure it. That's the whole problem.
Yeah.
It's not,
if you look at the people that are getting kicked out, it's all the people with special cases. You know, if you take a hard look at it, Florida, California, all these other states that are kicking people out, the ones they're kicking out are the ones that have the high risk insurance.
Yep. Well, and that's
Paramedic in California said that United, which is one of the largest insurers in California, quit as of 1 October. They just stopped. They're done.
Well, yeah. As I was getting on, when you have, you know, no exemptions for pre-existing conditions, and this whole thing of you could sign up for insurance like the moment you get like admitted into the hospital for a problem.
Right.
I mean, you get rid of all of the dynamics of why insurance works. I mean, insurance is essentially a lottery where you jump in when your risk is low, and pay a small amount. And in the event that you unfortunately hit the lottery where your house burns down, your car gets totaled, you have a heart attack or something like that, You've already paid in long enough that, you know, and other people have paid in that are still healthy, that the insurance company is still making money.
Yeah, it's a risk pool.
Yeah, exactly. And now what they're trying to say is that, oh, now you can, you know, now you can wait for the roulette ball to stop and then put your money on red.
Right. Well, you know, there's a reason that the insurance companies don't pay for elective surgeries.
Yeah.
Because they're elective. There's no risk pool. There's no way to, you know, I mean, you can't. You know what I mean? I mean, if they covered, you know, nearsighted
LASIK.
LASIK, or they covered boob jobs, or they covered, you know, penis enlargements. I mean, everybody would rush out and get one because, hey, it's covered, you know. I mean, you can't – this whole thing of, you know, the requirements for what gets covered is just crazy. I mean, it basically covers everything you can think of. And the other thing they threw in there that really hurts the insurance companies is there's no lifetime limit.
That's right.
Every insurance policy to date has some language in there that's a lifetime limit of coverage, because, you know, otherwise, you know, you know, it could be, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars. But under the Obamacare guidelines, there is no longer a lifetime limit. And, you know, and add that on top of, no additional things they have to cover. Like for men have to be covered for, like pregnancies and birth controls and all that kind of stuff, which makes no sense at all.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing is, like what they did to my daughter when they changed their policy earlier this year, you know, and she works for an Amos company. The birth of my grandson was not considered out of pocket. So that $15,000, $16,000 is just, you know, effectively money thrown away. It doesn't count against her catastrophic coverage. And the insurance company paid $1,500 for the birth.
Oops.
Yeah.
Well, I guess they figured it was a pregnancy and thus not something unforeseen. I don't know.
The previous policy would have covered, I think, $13,000, and all the remainder would have gone against her out-of-pocket expenses.
Well, it's going to get screwed up. It's going to get worse. And I got to tell you, I see this going two ways. I see it. One, I see it turning into socialized, you know, a la British National Health Service style.
That's exactly what I see. That's what I think with the whole, you know, you can apply for coverage while you're in the hospital getting treated for illnesses.
Right.
Is exactly designed so that people can just say, all right, cool, I'll pay my $200 monthly fee to the insurance company while I'm getting $10,000 worth of work done on me at the moment of doing it, so I get to pay $250 to get $10,000 free.
And then the insurance companies go out of business.
And they go out of business, and then suddenly there's no health care insurance in America because they all go off to some other country that isn't so horrible.
Right.
And so then all of a sudden people are like, oh, now we don't have any health insurance company coverage. And then Big Daddy government comes in and says, oh, we can do it. And now we've got UK health care, which is their goal all along.
Yeah, the other way this could go, and I don't think this is at all beyond the realm of possibility, is that the Obamacare shudders to a complete halt out of, you know, because it just can't work, and you know, doctors start taking cash and people start paying in cash, and everything goes back to pre-World War II style.
That's already happening.
Oh yeah, it is already happening. You see it popping up all over the place.
I mean, that's the big problem with the healthcare in this country anyway, is that when I go to get my teeth cleaned, there, you know, I have to do it under my insurance because they charge a ridiculous amount.
Right. Instead of what it should be.
Instead of what it should be, and you talk to any doctor, what they do is they do a procedure, and then they cite a really, really hyped up claim to the insurance company, because the insurance company is going to counter. They're going to haggle.
Yep.
And so just like when I list a gun up on a website saying, hey, buy this gun for $600 or best offer, you know, it's because I'm willing to let it go for $500. But if someone's going to say $550, I'm out ahead. And they have to do this trumped up number because they're not haggling with the insurance company. Their secretary, who they pay, is haggling with the insurance company. And so they're doing a trumped up number because they know the insurance company is not going to pay it anyway. And that becomes the quote unquote cost. But then meanwhile, you know, as Jim said, there's plenty of people that, you know, that take cash. All the fishermen I used to work with, they all knew the people that took cash because they didn't have health insurance, and they got ridiculously good health care for short money.
Yep.
Because they just go up, they give them cash, and the doctor would give them a great deal because they knew that they would render service and they would get money that day.
Yep.
There was no ifs, there was no ands, there was no buts.
Yeah, my dentist 2 years ago stopped taking insurance. And, you know, you talk about cleaning or filling. Fillings went from $230 to $67.
See? Perfect.
And
that's about the right amount.
He was able to let three people go out of his office that were nothing more than back office people that did nothing but process insurance.
Wow.
And he told me, he said, insurance and Medicare were both paying about 37 cents on the dollar.
Yep.
And he said, and this was 2 years ago, he said, mark my words, he said, you better, if you have a doctor, you better stick with him, and you better hope to hell that he starts taking cash. And I told him then, I said, yeah, my doctor has told me that they're no longer, they haven't taken Medicare or Medicaid patient for 4.5 years.
And
they don't even let them in the door.
Yeah. And you're going to see a lot more of that, too.
Yeah. And it's going to become a two-tiered system. It's going to become a one tier is the people can afford to pay cash to get services.
Yep.
And the other tier is going to be, you know, as AD calls them, the frequent flyers.
Yeah, but the doctors that take the cash, it's not going to be like it is now. It's actually going to be fairly cheap.
Yeah.
Well, look at plastic surgery.
Right, exactly. Same kind of thing. LASIK, mentioned before. I remember when they first started doing LASIK, it was like $3,000 or $4,000 an eye.
Yep.
And now it's like
more than that. It was $15,000 an eye.
Okay. Well, when I got mine done in 2000, it was down to about $1,000 an eye. Now it's like under $500 in some places.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen a bunch of places. It's like $900 for both eyes.
Right. And it's, and you see that all the time in elective surgery. It always gets better and cheaper. And there's absolutely no reason why that can't, why that same thing can't happen in everything else.
Well, I mean, everybody else is used to doing it. We've all got auto insurance because, you know, Lord knows if somebody smashes my car up tomorrow, I can't fucking afford to buy a brand new car.
Right.
So the insurance company's there for it and I'm paying them, you know, while I'm driving safely to hopefully, you know, protect me in the event that somebody cleans me out. But when I run out a set of tires or my need a set of brakes or something like that, I pay that out of pocket.
Or imagine how much your
state law.
Yeah, but imagine how much your car insurance
to drive.
Imagine how much your insurance would be if it also had to cover your gas and oil changes and, like you say, tires and everything else.
Oh yeah,
which is what they're doing to medicine right now. It's the, you know, it's the equivalent. You know, going to see the doctor should not be an insurance event. You know, for your yearly checkup or whatever, that should not, that shouldn't be an insurance event. You know, you have to do it. You know, or some people
well,
do.
Where
it.
You're gonna see, where you're gonna see the biggest impact is gonna be the ERs. You know, because you're gonna get even more frequent flyers than you get now. And in some places now, the waiting time in the ERs is 18 hours.
Yeah, but don't they triage people in the ERs? I mean, they make the frequent flyers wait.
Well, they make the frequent flyers wait,
and they also make if when I checked in for having pericarditis, they knew I wasn't going to die right then and there, so I got to wait.
Right.
Yeah. But how long did you wait?
Oh, I don't even remember. It was a while.
That's a $64 question. How long can you wait? You know, that incident that happened 2 years ago now in L.A. where the woman died in the waiting room waiting to be seen for her chest pains.
Oh, Brita.
Crawled up on the floor and died.
Brita just brought up a great point in chat.
What?
The vet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, my cat just had major surgery. He had a bladder stone that needed to be taken out, and he spent the night, and he had the whole surgery thing, and it was $1,000.
Yeah,
That
on a human, that would have been at least $20,000 or $30,000.
At least. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And there's really no difference.
Well. Yeah. I don't know. I can't say that. I'm not a doctor, but
not really.
You know, surgery is surgery.
Yeah.
You know, I'm thinking, and you know, aftercare.
People are animals.
A lot of it is aftercare. You know, being in recovery and being taken care of and recuperation and you know that sort of thing. A lot of it is that also. But
well, actually, nowadays they're trying to kick you out of the hospital.
Oh, I know. Yeah, I know. They kick you out at least, like, they give you 24 hours, and they're like, if you're not up and walking within 24 hours, you know, that's, yeah.
Yep. Yeah. No, my mother-in-law was amazed at how short we spent in the hospital when we had the baby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was two nights. And honestly speaking, I said, thank God, because I couldn't wait to get out of there.
Yeah, no kidding.
Couldn't wait to get out of there. Yeah. You know, when I was a kid and I would have surgeries all the time on my leg, I would be in there for at least a week.
Yeah.
And it was just like, you know, I'd be in there in the hospital for a week and I'd have recovery and then I'd have physical therapy in the hospital. And then it was like this whole big thing. And I can't even imagine how it would be like now. Like, they'd be kicking you out like after 2 days.
Well, the thing is, back when you were having that done, Rita, they didn't have MRSAs like they have now.
Yeah, I'm sure not. Yeah, you're right.
And you're more prone to get a serious infection in the hospital today than you are anywhere else.
That's true.
Yeah, that's true.
Plus, you got that whole doctors killing people left and right.
Oh, yeah, that's my problem. You know, doctors kill more children than guns do. But, yeah, that's not something they want to publicize.
Well, you know, here's the thing. You know, it's kind of a weird. I mean, we throw that out because we don't like people. You know, we think the focus on gun death is stupid compared to everything else. But you know, people die. People are always going to die. People die left and right. So, you know, you check in the hospital. You know, you were going to die. If it was 200 years ago, you were going to die. You know, the doctor may be able to save you. He may not be able to save you. But if he does, you know, yay. If he doesn't, you know, this is where I'm not a big fan of these lawyers that want to sue doctors all the time. I mean, you know, if somebody obviously screws something up, then yeah, you got a problem. But these, you know, multi-million-dollar medical, you know, lawsuit payouts that make the malpractice insurance go through the roof. You know, frankly, yeah. I'm sorry. You may think that person that died is special and all that, but I guarantee you, they're not.
Yeah.
They weren't worth millions of dollars. I'm sorry, they just weren't.
Well,
yep. And that's know, and that's.
The other,
go ahead, Jim.
The other side of that coin too is like now in, I believe it's West Virginia, at least in eastern West Virginia, they have no pediatricians in any of the hospitals because the malpractice insurance had gotten to the point it was almost $500,000.
Which is insane.
Right.
And that's actually exactly what I was going to say is that my mom's worked in a hospital and because of that, I've had, you know, had a chance to rub elbows with a lot of doctors and I've known a ton of retired doctors who that was their exact statement is, oh, I didn't retire because I was getting too old or because I'd done it long enough. No, I was perfectly capable of doing more surgery. Just I saw my next malpractice bill and said, "Fuck it, I'm gonna go sit at my house and play golf."
Yep.
That's what both of my cousins, who were pediatricians in Texas, did. One of them in Humble, one of them in Houston. They both quit about 6 years ago because even though neither one of them had ever had an incident, their malpractice insurance was approaching $250,000 a year.
That's just crazy.
Yeah.
Yep.
And how are you supposed to recover that or make a profit?
Well, you can't.
Or hell, even break even. You can't.
Or to switch it over to Obamacare with all the business going on with that, how are you going to, How are you going to keep enough doctors to supply all these newly insured people with primary care physicians and all of that? And on top of that, how are you going to convince young people to go into medical school and go through residency and all that hell we put doctors through when you're not going to make any more money than the nurses that are just making the rounds?
I'll tell you exactly what will happen. Two things. One, the quality of people entering the medical profession will go down. They just won't be as good. And they'll be government employees. And thus, they'll have at least partial immunity. So they won't have to have the malpractice insurance because the government will say, well, you can't sue the government.
Well, you know what Moonbeam has done in California now and I think it actually got passed, and very quietly, is allowing nurses to prescribe and treat patients.
Yeah, I don't.
No,
I actually, don't have a problem with that, because probably 90% of the stuff that people get routinely prescribed for doesn't really take a doctor. I mean, hell, some of the, I have some stuff I take for asthma, and if I have to go see a doctor to get a prescription, because it's something I have to take all the time, yet I still need a prescription to get it from the drugstore.
Oh, I do the exact same thing for my asthma medication. I go see my doctor, and while I'm getting something checked out,
it's ridiculous.
I go, hey, can you write me a prescription for this and this and this? And they're like, yeah, sure.
Yeah, but you shouldn't. I mean, it shouldn't take a visit to the doctor for that kind of thing. You know, it's stupid. And a lot of that's AMA, restraint of trade and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, but you're dead right. We're reaching a point where A, there's no way they're going to have enough doctors.
Yep.
B, they're not going to go to the high risk areas, like New York City or anywhere where there's a extremely high malpractice fees. You're not going to see the proverbial local doctor that we've always seen. And you may have to wait a month or 2 months or longer to get an appointment with a doctor.
Yep. That's right. Well, thanks for calling, Jim. We got more people stacked up on the phone lines suddenly.
Oh, sorry. All right.
It's okay. Thanks for calling. We appreciate it. Bye. We do have more people calling all of a sudden.
Yeah, this show is just going right by.
Yeah, I know. And this is area code 978. Hello.
Greetings.
Oh, my God.
How are we doing, folks? Yeah.
Who is this?
Who is this? Who is it? You forgot me already.
No, I'm totally kidding. I know who it is.
How could you not?
Yeah.
I know that guy.
How goes it, JG?
It's JG.
It's going very well.
Who now works for the NRA.
That's right.
Three barrels full of cash.
I'm an official merchant of death. I want the coffee mug. That's all I'm saying. I joined to become an official merchant of death. I really want the mug. That's it. Is that asking too much? No.
You mean they don't have mugs?
They don't have merchant of death mugs.
They should. How can they? That's ridiculous.
They have We Give Uzis to School Children mugs. No, I'm just kidding. Of course, they're not Uzis. They're American. But anyway. No, I want to call it because I actually have real, honest advice for Weird. And I know it's like totally like you hear it and be like, duh. And someday you're going to be like, that's what Jay meant. But seriously, the biggest piece of advice I wish somebody had given to us when my son was a baby was relax.
Aww.
It's so hard. I know, and it's trite. It's things like when people, when I'd ask, well, how do you know when they're hungry? And the response would be, you'll know. And you're like, oh, thank you, Captain Obvious. But you'll get it. You'll get it. And you'll get to know. You will figure it out. Babies don't just randomly starve to death.
No,
that was actually my mother was talking to my wife the other day. And she's working on the relaxing. My mother said to my wife, she said when she was taking care of me, of course I was premature back in the late 70s when, premature babies didn't really like to live very much. And she said, once she got me out of the hospital and I was essentially out of the woods, it was still rough on a new mother. And, she said, and she kept saying to herself, people are having babies under a bridge. And those babies are living. People are having babies in third world countries, and those babies are living. I'm not going to kill this baby.
There is very little you can do as long as you're not abusing the child. There is very little you can do to screw up a kid.
Yeah. Well, there's emotional, but that's later.
Yeah, that's a lot later. when they're a baby, there's very little you can do to screw them up. Yeah.
Oh, especially this early baby. She still hasn't even figured out we're people yet.
Yeah,
we just got to feed her and wipe up the poop.
That's right.
Yep, they have definite will to live.
And the other thing too weird is enjoy this stage. They are infinitely portable at this stage.
Yep.
Right now you can go anywhere you want, do anything you want, pretty much just like you used to. You just have to bring, a truckload of stuff with you. It's a good thing you got the mom wagon. But
yep.
You can go to a restaurant. I mean, babies sleep like 23 and a half hours out of the day.
Like kittens.
Pretty much. It really hit home for me when my daughter was born. We did everything with my daughter. It was like, wow, this is so easy, and it's because you get that confidence. And if you're not freaking out about, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, you can really enjoy it. It's really not bad. It's when they're like 6 months and they're awake most of the time and they're starting to sit up and grab things and jam them in their mouths and that's when you're really, okay, now we got to start paying more attention. And then they start to walk and it's all...
Yeah, this is the time where they stay where you put them. And that's a joyous time, and you'll never have it again, ever.
Yes, exactly. You put them down, and they don't go anywhere.
Right.
Can I ask something? Now, granted, I'm not a parent, but can I just ask about the baby bag? How much of that crap do you really need? I'm thinking a bottle,
a
diaper.
Like a diaper bag?
Like how seriously? It's like you're packing for a week. How much crap do you need for one tiny little human being for 4 hours?
In ours, we just before the show started, we just got back to a friend's house and we went over there for dinner and some moral support and just some general fun. And we've got like a couple of diapers and food. And a change of clothes in case there's some splattering
splattering.
It's like the diaper bag is the TARDIS. It's like there's everything in there for every possible. Yeah. It's crazy. Like I have a niece and nephew, and it's when they were babies, it was like. You're going away for 4 hours with the baby. How much shit do you need for one tiny little human being?
Depends on how much shit they make.
Yeah. I don't even understand.
Yeah, they do poop a lot and at the worst times. And they will tend to poop on you. So not only does the baby need a change of clothes, you need a change of clothes.
Oh, good Lord.
And towels.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And towels, yeah. And wet wipes and a diaper pad because there is no way on God's green earth I'm putting my child down on one of those plastic diaper changing stations at like Walmart right on the thing. I would rather bathe my child in the toilet.
At what age do you start litter box training?
Cats are superior to humans.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they're really throwing you put a kid in a sack and throw him in the river. No, I'm just kidding. Rita's going to kill me, folks. It's a nice knowing you.
I don't think she has a problem with you doing that with kids, as long as you're not doing it with cats.
Yeah.
It really depends on the kid. Some kids are potty trained in a year and a half, some not until they're four.
More than that.
Yeah, well, some develop lifelong habits. But, my daughter was earlier than my son because she wanted to emulate him, so she potty trained earlier. My son was starting to when my daughter was born, and then he...
Did she try to do it standing up or no?
He's too small.
Oh, okay.
I mean, even the little mini toilets, it doesn't work. You just have them sit down. And they still pee everywhere.
Trust me, you want them sitting down when they're that young.
Yeah. Because half the time they'll just poop anyway.
Yeah.
And if they're standing up, there's a reason all three of my bathrooms are tile.
Oh, God. Carpeted bathrooms are the fucking worst.
Yeah, whoever carpeted a bathroom deserves to be taken out back and shot.
Yeah, that's just stupid.
Or they should just be able to have to spend a night in that bathroom and smell the carpet.
Okay. Yes.
We will wrap you in the carpet and you will... Oh, man.
They're going to wrap you in the carpet and throw you in the river with it. Oh, boy.
So, yeah, there's nothing better than a carpeted bathroom with a toilet overflowing into it.
Yeah, yeah. There's one more piece of advice I'll leave you with here. And that is, when you feed Luwirda blueberries for the first time...
What?
Remember that when he feeds Luwirda blueberries for the first time... Remember that the next morning when you look at that diaper, because you're going to be my God, my child is leaking roofing tar.
And beets.
Yep, beets.
Yes, cute. Beets.
I heard somebody say they wanted to put an alert on their cell phone just to say, no, you just ate beets. You don't need to go to the doctor. You're not dying.
Yes, beets, carrots, and blueberries. Beets, do you think, oh my God, this child has stuffed a wolverine up their digestive system and they're bleeding internally. Yep. Blueberries, it's, oh my God, my daughter is shitting roofing tar. And with carrots, you look at it and go, what is this orange stuff? This is the fun stuff. But just remember, just before you freak out, think back and say, what did we feed this child in the last 24 hours? You'll go through the metal Rolodex and be like, rice cereal, crackers, Cheerios, beets. Okay, never mind. Cancel a 911 call.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so, and it's almost 10 o'clock, so I'm going to say goodnight, folks.
Well, hang on, Jay. I just wanted to explain to everyone why Jay is calling in and not on the Skype.
I get put on the spot.
It's not. I don't know. It's just one of those things that just had to happen. It's not.
Jay, we're not breaking up.
Yeah, we're.
It's not you. It's me.
It's not. It really was a hard decision, but the whole. It's the same reason that Jay's not going to, he mentioned on his blog, he's not going to be a gun blogger anymore because the NRA.
They're paying me to do that.
Right.
Right.
And there was a lot of concern about, what Jay could or couldn't say on the squirrel report. And, we just decided to be more trouble than it was worth. And, It sucks, but that shit just happens in life. So,
yeah, and it gives everybody an out. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Jay doesn't have to explain to his boss why he's talking about guns on the squirrel port, and we don't have to explain why we're censoring Jay on the squirrel port. You know, it's like it gives everybody an out. So, Jay, of course, you're welcome to call in at any time where you think it's appropriate. We would love to have you.
You guys totally don't need to avoid topics on my account. I know you would have, and I would have loved that. But there's some things that you guys just have to you don't want to talk about.
Okay? Yeah. Plus, sometimes we like to bash the NRA.
Sure. Yeah, hey, that too. And
exactly.
When it's deserved.
Okay, in general. Anyway.
We love you, Jay.
That's exactly it.
We do.
Yeah, it'll be fine.
Too. And I'll call in.
I love you, man.
To give weird, parenting advice from someone in the trenches.
There you go.
And when I say trenches, I mean literally trenches. So it's going to be those days.
And seeing the two feral children that Jay raised up, I will take it with a grain of salt. Jay's kids are absolutely lovely.
Remember, they are half and half. So,
yep. But still, it's one of those. Do not have them call Uncle Weird if they need to be bailed out of jail.
Wait, half and half what? Jay,
they're half white. They're half white.
Oh, okay.
The proper term is mulatto.
They're mixed race.
half Irish, half Italian, right?
Oh boy!
Well, they're half white, according to Weird.
That's a hell of a combination.
My wife is like one quarter Italian, so unfortunately, my baby's been dusted with the tar brush.
They have no trouble. You know, they have no anger management issues at all.
Yeah, because they're not managing it.
They're not what?
They're not managing it.
So they've got no issues. That's like I've only got a drinking problem when I can't get a drink.
Oh, man. All right, we got to go. Thanks for calling, Jay.
Thanks, guys.
All right, bye. And I think that's it.
Okay.
Well, that went by quick.
Yeah, it did.
It did.
Times like this, I wish it was 2 hours, and then I kick myself and say, you fucking idiot.
Don't do it. Yeah. 2 hours.
No. All right, then. We'll see y'all next week.
Okay.
All right. Good night. Talk to you guys later.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Bye.
All right. Bye.